Good morning, I'm Mark Allen from Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Ori Ohayan, the president of NFT Basel. Good afternoon in your case, Ori. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you for joining us today. So to start with, can you share a brief description of your background and what you did before NFT Basel?
Sure. So I was a traditional finance / Wall Street kid. I did a bachelor's degree in quantitative finance in a small university just outside of Toronto. Graduated and went straight into Goldman Sachs. I was an equity sales trader there and also part of the small team that tried to initiate the Bitcoin trading desk about 6 years ago now. Did that for a couple years and then had the opportunity to move to another bank when Goldman basically decided to scrap the original iteration of the Bitcoin desk. Moved to TD, started trading derivatives there. And on the side was building out blockchain incubators to essentially learn how to settle equity trades using blockchain versus using a clearinghouse. It worked. We had the first iteration of that project worked out really well, and we just used an incubator with university students. But eventually the project was shut down because the bank got a bit nervous. So I stayed with the with TD for just over 3 years. Later, NFTs came out and I started seeing a lot of opportunities in the alternative investment space and the opportunity to transfer ownership of physical assets on chain. So I quit my job in banking. I moved into the crypto space full-time. I work at GDA Capital now as head of corporate development. And I also founded an NFT company called NFT Basel and currently going through a Series A with that.
Very cool. So you basically have two jobs, it sounds like.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, very cool. So for NFT Basel, explain to people what NFT Basel is, because you use the word NFT, and when people hear the word NFT, they think digital, but you just mentioned physical. So that does seem to be a difference of what people generally think about.
Totally. So the way I look at an NFT is it's a one-of-one token that stores a block of data in it. I don't look at it as a JPEG or an image file that is transferred owner to owner. I actually look at it as a digital deed of ownership. So when I was starting to build NFT Basel with the whole team, the first thing I wanted to work on is how do I track provenance of a physical asset on chain, and how do I tie that digital asset to the physical asset? So the first step was we found NFT chips that were manufactured out of the US. Those NFT chips essentially acted as a cold storage. So we were able to mint an NFT onto a physical asset and essentially resin that chip into the back of a canvas. Thus, the physical piece is now an NFT. So we created an NFT marketplace that sold physical assets that were actually delivered to the owner and the buyer of those NFTs. And that physical piece was validated by that little chip on the back. And then we started working with those traditional creators, so artists, dancers, athletes, musicians, and teaching them how to create digital assets that had intrinsic value, regardless of the asset being physical or digital. So we started working with these high-end artists, famous galleries, and very high-profile athletes, and essentially taught them how to go A to Z through the minting process. And as a result, we developed this incredible marketplace that was highly curated. It wasn't like any of the other open platforms where you can just mint anything you want. In order to get into NFT Basel, you have to get validated, similar to Instagram with the blue tick. And we created this, we're calling it quote unquote, an investment grade NFT marketplace. And it's worked. It's been live for close to a year now. And we've had great success. We've been able to guide people into the marketplace in a really stable and secure manner.
Very cool. So basically you're using the blockchain as proof of ownership, like legal title, correct?
Exactly.
Cool. Before this, you spent a lot of time in finance and banking. So, NFTs is one change. I don't know how much that's going to affect banking, but what changes have you seen in banking and fintech in the last, let's say, 5 years?
So one of the big things that I was trying to present while I was in banking is the ability to create essentially an internal stable coin that you could transfer ownership and files with, right? Because, for example, like the equity settlement platform we were developing, all that is a block of data that goes internally within the bank on chain and validates a transaction. So if you think about a trader, you sit at your terminal, you execute a trade, that trade is sent back to the client using typically a messaging app or an email, and you're confirming the price and the quantity and the ticker of that trade using an email or some old tech. And blockchain would have been able to clean that up. If anyone was able to adopt an internal block of data that could say, here's my fill from the markets directly, I got 10 shares of Apple at X dollars, that was sealed on chain, then there would be no more need for me to send a voice confirm or an email confirm to a client. It would just happen automatically because the chain would be transferred. And that's essentially a unique block of data that would act as an NFT. Mm-hmm. And that would clean up the entire settlement process. You don't need a clearinghouse. You don't have to wait 2 days for a stock to settle in your account. You don't have any more arbitrage between dividends and ex-dividend dates. There's no more lag anymore in the market. But a big issue with creating that is a lot of the jobs in the middle and back office would be made completely useless. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's fantastic. There's a massive innovation potential there, but you also risk killing a big component of the bank.
Yes, and the politics that goes with that. So,
correct. So when a 23-year-old suggested that, they weren't so keen.
Yes, I can imagine some people that have been in the banking industry for 40 years would be like, I don't think we're going to do that. I have people reporting to me. I don't want to lose them. And just out of curiosity, when you proposed this, was it on a public chain or a private chain?
It was a private internal ledger.
Okay. So, but still, I mean, more secure. Well, I wouldn't know about more secure, but still the technology is the same. The chain is the chain.
Exactly. And it's honestly, it's no different to what the banks are doing. It's just faster, right? The banks mm-hmm. all have a million servers. They have firewalls. They have all the internal security on their platforms. So in reality, all you're doing is changing from software to blockchain and just treating blockchain as a new method of data transfer. Which I think in 10 years is what you're going to start seeing. You're going to start seeing inventory management happening on chain. You're going to start seeing, my speculation is that currencies are going to start going digital and doesn't change the way we use them now. Maybe cash becomes useless, but our e-transfers, our bank transfers, wires are just going to be validated on chain and USD will be a token.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's talk of doing that right now, as you know. So.
Exactly. So I think that's where we're heading. I think markets are going to become significantly more digitized over time.
I would agree with that. But do you think 10 years is the time frame, or do you think it'll be longer? That's a tough one.
Yeah, no. Okay, fine. For an entirely digital FX market, for example, it's going to take significantly longer. But I think in 10 years, you're going to start seeing people dabbling in it a lot more. I think we have to go through many more iterations of cycles with the crypto space before that happens, because we have to develop and find all the holes like we just did last week. We have to find the holes, collapse them, and then build again.
Yes. And it's interesting because there are, I mean, I'm in Silicon Valley. There are new banks popping up in Silicon Valley, and you think they might be the early adopters of what you're discussing. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, they probably would be the first to adopt, but in the end, it's not them who are going to pull the trigger that's going to impact everyone, right? Like, you need the old guards to say this is what's going to happen.
Yes.
You need, the same way we built NFT Basel on the premise that we're going to beat the old guard in the NFT in the art space. You need the biggest banks, the biggest players in the world to say, okay, let's give it a try.
Yes, I would agree with that. And so you started this company, you said about a year ago, right?
Correct, yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, it's a really a new company. I mean, are you based in Toronto, or you're in Toronto and the rest of the company is all over the world?
So, yeah, we have a big chunk of our team is based out of Amsterdam and Frankfurt. I am based out of Toronto, Miami, and New York. I essentially travel constantly between the three. And our team is all over, like, everyone's nomadic. Very standard of crypto, but I think it teaches you that the world is significantly smaller than we think it is.
Yes.
And the crypto network is international, so it's quite cool.
Interesting. And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was recently they removed the requirement of traveling between Canada and the US. It became much easier recently, correct? I mean, what did you do when you couldn't travel to and from the US?
I attempted to drive through the border at one point when the borders were closed. That didn't work out so well for me. Mm-hmm. And before that, I was flying and quarantining 2 weeks at a time every time I would do a trip.
Oh my God. But
I've only been in crypto. So NFT Basel is about a year old. I moved to crypto about a year and a few months ago. So the worst of the travel restrictions were cut out by then. Mm-hmm. I was in banking at the time, which was made it worse, which meant I could never leave my parents' basement and I had to sit between six screens in the house until ridiculous hours of the night. Mm-hmm. But the travel restrictions made it very hard. It made it extremely hard to network and develop a client base and so on. As I'm sure you know, developing strong relationships requires in-person interaction.
Yes, it does. Although I will admit, I've been to Toronto many times. So if you're going to be somewhat stranded in a city, that would be a good one to be stranded in.
I would agree, minus the winter.
Yes.
Yes. So everything else is fine, minus being stuck in a Canadian winter and pandemic.
Mm-hmm. This is true. So you're a new company, right? You have a really cool idea. Because, you know, like I said, most people think of NFTs as a digital thing. You're applying it to physical assets, and the world is your ocean, pretty much. Would you agree? I mean, I'm looking around my house. I have a ton of physical assets. Whether they are NFTable, I don't know, but some of them certainly are. So where do you see this going? I mean, you've mentioned some of the verticals you're going into, but where do you see it going in the future?
So I think the main big vertical, which you're starting to see a lot of players come into, and it's something I've been working on actively, is the real estate market. I think whoever figures out how to transfer deed of ownership of a physical property, so land transfer, the title transfer, all this stuff, putting that into a smart contract and automating the process, will have an absolute fantastic piece of infrastructure that I do think every jurisdiction requires. Mm-hmm. So I think real estate is going to be a massive market. I think the precious stone market will also be big. It's very difficult to authenticate a stone unless you've got a professional staring at it and validating the certificates on the stone. Finding a way to actually tie the blockchain to that physical stone is really cool. Mm-hmm. I've messed around with a couple ideas before, whether it be like lasering a QR code into the stone, but that's not a permanent solution. Mm-hmm. Putting chips onto the GIA certificates, all kinds of things. But in the end, that's a very finicky market. And what I've been learning over the last year is, in order to become the next iteration of NFTs, you need a specialist from the blockchain space and a specialist from the traditional market to pair up. Hmm. And I've seen this with multiple projects I've worked on. For example, NFT Basel, when we were building it at the start, I'm colorblind. I don't know the first thing about art. But my mom was an art dealer. So the reason I understood part of the art market and I was able to get trust in the art market was because my mom had a good reputation there. So my mom, Estelle O'Hien, is now the CEO of NFT Basel, and she's taken on the face of the company and all the operations and the talent management and so on is run by someone who knew the traditional market. Mm-hmm. I sit on the background of the other co-founders and we run the operations and the infrastructure of the business.
Hmm. Very interesting. I mean, you would think going forward, any market you want to go into, you have to go through the experts, right? Because there's a lot you don't. I mean, I'm a tech guy and I know how to build this stuff, but I don't know the rules of the game in all the different markets. And I would assume you've obviously adopted that philosophy, correct?
Yeah, I think you have to learn. There's a really good quote. I've actually been repeating this to a lot of people lately, but it goes, if I've seen over the mountains, it's for I stood on the shoulders of giants. Mm-hmm. And I'm a massive believer in that because I don't think I'm a specialist in the art world, in the real estate world, even in the blockchain space. I think I have a fundamental understanding of NFTs and I understand how to manage people and operate businesses. But in the end, it's people from the art world who are going to help us improve the art world. Mm-hmm. And we have to partner with them. It's people from the fashion space who are going to help us improve the fashion world. Without those collaborations, you kind of get pigeonholed. You get a little bit stuck. And I think you've seen, look, OpenSea, for example, has had issues with intellectual property and with securities laws and so on. And it's not because they're not good at what they do, but it's because there's not enough collaboration and collaborative thoughts going into the structuring of these projects. Mm-hmm. There's not enough IP lawyers working with NFT projects. There's not enough, traditionalists partnering up with the guys who are launching these new projects.
Yes, I would agree. And it's interesting. The one you talked about earlier is you know, deed of ownership, of title of a home. I have to believe that is the perfect application for NFTs. I have to believe that somebody is already working on that. Would you agree?
Yeah, there definitely are. I know already a couple of players in the space were working in stealth mode right now, developing the solutions to that. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely outstanding. If any of this works, it's incredible.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, just think of the amount of time it will save in closing on a house and, you know, cause whenever someone buys real estate, you have to go redo a title search. It's like, that should be minutes, not weeks.
Exactly. So the whole premise, and I've done this with NFT Basel and every other project I'll work on, I always say the same thing, is I want the process of acquiring any physical asset, regardless of it, of its nature, whether it be a property, a car, a painting, a sculpture, whatever it is, it should feel like you're acquiring something on Amazon. You put in a credit card, you put in your details, you pass a very basic KYC, and then your NFT is transferred to you and the physical asset is then delivered. Hmm. And I think that's kind of the goal of NFT 2 or 3.0, right? That's going to be the next iteration that's going to happen. And that's the foundation I'm trying to work off of.
Very cool. Well, Ori, it's been fascinating talking to you. I could probably talk to you about this stuff for hours, but we do have day jobs. You have two of them, actually. I'm going to let you get back to one of them. But thank you for joining us. And you have any closing thoughts on where you see, you know, what do you see the future holds?
Look, I think blockchain is the future of pretty much all transactional power of the fintech space, even banking and so on. I think the major hurdle here is lowering barriers of entry into those markets. Mm-hmm. And a big key into that is collaboration and allowing the younger generation of innovators to work in the traditional space. Mm-hmm. That's something I work on every day. I'm constantly trying to develop partnerships. And I think that's a massive key. You have to stand on the shoulders of giants in order to get past this hurdle. And that's what's going to define what the next iteration of Web3 looks like.
Yes. Well, thank you again for joining us today and have a great weekend.
I appreciate it. Thank you.